Hey, what's up, guys? Travis here. And if you've been following me or my story for any length of time, you know that I started a company called Guestio about a year and a half ago now. And one of the things that we are doing this year in 2022 is we're building a concierge program called the Fast Pass that allows you to get booked on top quality shows and platforms for the purpose of spreading awareness for your brand, grabbing attention, growing your credibility, your authority, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you are listening to this right now and you are a seven-figure plus entrepreneur and you have a budget to bring in traffic, attention, credibility, authority to your brand, then this might be a really great program for you. Just head over to travischappell.com/10K. Why 10K? Because we guarantee in this program that you're going to be able to speak in front of 10,000 people within 90 days. Okay, 10,000 people within 90 days. Imagine getting on a stage in front of 10,000 people to share your message, your story. Well, that's exactly what we are doing inside of this program through virtual stages like podcasts or virtual events or YouTube channels or blogs. You name it, we are working with it and we are trying to get you booked on those platforms. So travischappell.com/10x. There's a quick application there. And then right at the end of that application, it'll prompt you to set up a phone call where you'll jump on a call with me and we'll talk through whether or not you're a great fit for this program. Please act fast on this. Do not wait because we are only taking on one or two clients a week due to constraints with our team and the limited supply of high quality shows and platforms that are out there in the market. So if that's you and you're really wanting to explode your brand in 2022, head over to travischappell.com/10K, fill out the application, schedule a quick phone call, and you and I will chat really soon about whether or not this would be a great fit for you. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Hey, this is Riley Meek, author of Food for Thought. And if you want to learn how to build better relationships, you should be listening to Build Your Network podcast with my good friend, Travis Chappell.
Welcome back to the show. I believe that who you know is more important than what you know. If you agree, then keep on listening for tips on how to cultivate meaningful connections the right way. If you disagree, then tune in anyway to let me prove you wrong with my journey. My name is Travis Chappell, and this is the Build Your Network podcast. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the show. This one is a really unique one. I'm always looking for stories and just different ideas. I'm always on the lookout for people who have taken something that normally wouldn't be something that is standing out to most people, and they take that thing and turn it into a revenue stream and an entire business and career. And I love looking for stories like that. And the guy that's on the show today is definitely one of those people. His name is Riley Meek. Riley is the founder and CEO of the Social Dynamic Selling System, which turns dinner seminar marketing into a science. Starting with just $673 in his bank account, Riley has produced over $80 million in sales over the past 8 years, all through dinner seminar marketing. And now that he's perfected this business model, he is now on a mission to help other entrepreneurs and business owners achieve their goals using this proven system. So we talk a lot in this interview about how to use dinner seminars to grow your business, whatever that may be, why everybody should be trying some form of direct sales at one point or another in their career, and why failure is such a huge part of success. We go into so many practical, tactical strategies here in this episode, and I can't wait to share that with you. But first, if you want to know how I build and maintain relationships with all the people that I have here on the show, I finally put together an all-inclusive course that tells you everything that I know about networking, A to Z, from body language to building lists to adding value, how to do those things properly, and how to build real relationships with people in your life. So if you want to get plugged into the top percent of your industry and start building the life of your dreams, head on over to travischappell.com/explode. That's travischappell.com/explode to learn more about that. And I will catch you over there. And now here is my chat with Riley Meek. Riley, what's up, man? Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining me.
Hey, Travis. Pumped to be here, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. So I wanted to bring you on, and I said this a little bit before we kind of hit the record button. I said this a little bit because the way that you have been making money and building a business for the past few years is super unique and interesting, and especially for the audience over here at Build Your Network, because
People are here typically to learn how to network better, how to build relationships better, how to build deeper connections with people. And you, through doing dinner seminar marketing, have found a really unique, interesting way to do that and to build a business doing it, which I think is super cool. So we're going to get into some of that stuff a little bit later. So if you're tuning in right now, hang on. I always like to go back and build a little bit of context first. So Riley, talk to me about what it was like to be, let's say, 14-year-old Riley. What'd you have going on? Likes, dislikes, family life, all that kind of stuff.
Oh man. All right. Sure. Yeah. So I grew up in South Dakota, small town, South Dakota, like less than 1,000 people. So you can imagine there wasn't a lot going on.
Yeah.
So you said 14, but I'll actually maybe fast forward it to 15. At the age of 15, I figured I should get myself my own job. Something that my parents didn't really ask of or anything like that, but it was just within me, like I should start to maybe contribute. And the only job I could get in this huge metropolis of 1,000 people was make pizzas at a small town gas station. And I got paid $5.15 an hour.
Nice. Nothing better than gas station pizza, bro.
Right? Absolutely. So that didn't last long. I worked at an 8-hour shift, and I did the math in my head and thought, there's no way I'm doing this again. So my very, very first day of my job was really my last day of the job. And that really started my entrepreneurial kind of journey. And my family was really involved with some network marketing companies. And I started to kind of dabble into that a little bit, which was interesting being young, but it is something that really helped to kind of just develop who I am, just getting involved with just like-minded individuals. No matter what it was that they were selling or pushing or promoting, it was just like, I drank the Kool-Aid hard, but it was a great Kool-Aid. You know, it was just all about personal development.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting you bring that up, bro, because the more people that I talk to that are successful in traditional businesses, it's uncanny how many of them, at least at some point in their lives, dabbled or went all in on network marketing. Like at some point, you know what I mean? Like just the culture that it brings you into, you know, like learning from people like Jim Rohn. Like that was the first, whenever I did network marketing, I basically memorized this Jim Rohn audio track. It's not even I think it's available on Apple Music or something. It was a CD, or it was a tape that was turned into a CD that was turned into an MP3. Yeah, exactly.
Right?
but it's so good. Like I'll listen to it right now. And even though I'm not even building a network marketing business, it's so many things that are so applicable to other areas of life. So
absolutely. You know, the kind of, you hear the saying, like, you know, everybody should be a waiter once or a waitress once to have that experience. And I kind of had that same sense or same feeling towards, you know, network marketing. It's gotten a bad rap for over the years for certain reasons, but I mean, at the core, I think it's a brilliant model, and it really pushes people to do the uncomfortable until it becomes comfortable.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I tell people is you got to do either network marketing, door-to-door sales, or telemarketing. If you do one of those three things, like especially if you're, you know, especially if you're young, listen to this and you're like 17, 18 years old, just out of high school, maybe you're looking to get a job in college. You know what I mean? Like doing one of those things is going to be, you'll probably learn more doing those things than you'll actually learn in the classroom at college.
Absolutely. I would completely agree.
But anyway, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. I just want to make that point.
I love it, man. That's great. So the day I graduated high school, I moved up to the Twin Cities, which is where I reside now, part-time at least. My wife and I, we have a condo down in Florida as well. So we're back and forth a little bit, but it was a lot of people ask me, you know, why I moved to the Twin Cities, and it wasn't necessarily to come here to Minneapolis. It was more so to get out of the small town and community that I was in. And it was literally the day I graduated. My car was packed, and I drove up here, and you know, just kind of started my next path or next journey. And my original thought was to go to school, traditionally become a doctor, and you know, go down that road. And even being the entrepreneur that I kind of was during that time period, that was still my thought process. You know, go to school, get the education, and that was the path I was going down. But as I was doing that, I just went to a little community college here in the Minneapolis metro, and I ended up getting a 2-year degree in exercise science, glorified physical education. But that was kind of the path that I was taking. But as I was doing that, I started to make a decent income with the particular company that I was with at the time. You know, I was 19, I was making over 10 grand a month retailing nutritional supplements. I'd put together, you know, just kind of learning through this process, different marketing campaigns on how to get people to respond. And when I started to make that type of money, I thought I was something 19 years old and making $100,000 a year, and you know, life is good. I bought my first BMW, and I thought, well, the heck with school, man. Why would I want to do that? And I get nothing against it. It's just that that was the path that I loved. I loved the freedom, but also just the opportunity for really unlimited opportunity. You know, whatever I conceive in my mind, I felt like I could achieve. And so that's what I was doing, focusing on growing that business. I had an opportunity to expand overseas. They were opening up operations in another country. And that's when I really thought, man, this is it. This is going to be my big step to international business. And I'll head over there. I literally bought a one-way ticket. And I was 19 at the time. I bought a one-way ticket. And I thought, I'm going to go over there and make this thing happen. I didn't know a soul over there. This was in Malaysia, of all places, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And I landed. I had actually a 13-hour layover in Singapore and had a complete panic attack. Literally one of the worst things I've ever experienced.
Why do you think that was?
The culture shock. And for me, it was no question, like I was just going to go do it and never even thought about it until you're on a 12-hour flight and then you land and it's just like the culture shock. I'd been out of the country one time, and that's like a family vacation prior to this. And so it was just a complete shock to my system. And I spent about 2.5 days over there until I just freaked out and I came home with my tail between my legs, man. It was embarrassing. It was kind of one of my first midlife crisis.
yeah, your quarter life crisis.
Exactly. There we go.
Yeah.
So I came back to the States and you know, I was like engaged to be married at this time. I thought this is what I was going to do and this is just my path, but I felt like a complete failure. And I thought, man, is this really what I'm going to do? Is this what I want to do? I need to be able to provide for my wife, my future family. And I thought, well, let's get into insurance. And I actually got my Series 6, my Series 63, my life and health. And I thought I'm going to be an insurance salesman. That's, you know, it's still kind of somewhat like network marketing, but I can build a book of business and grow. 2 months into that, I crushed it out the gates. Of course, you know, you're working your warm market. It's something that I learned and everybody that I knew, you know, trusted me. And so it was, you know, salesman of the month, the first month and things like that. But that's, then I just had like this, like, I nothing against insurance, but I just didn't want to do that for the rest of my life. And I had another opportunity a few years, you know, fast forward a few years. Basically at that point, I got involved with just more direct sales where I saw a great ad. It was really selling home remodeling products and it was telemarketing leads where I would, you know, have to drive 5 hours just to find out that they would slam the door in my face. You know, it was just kind of, it was a struggle.
But literally been there.
There's one thing that I remember still to this day, which has really helped me throughout this whole process is in the hiring phase, the manager, his name was Jason. And he looked me dead in the eyes and said, man, this job is 85% negative, but if you can focus on that 15%, you can get rich doing this. And, you know, at 20, I was 21, 22 at the time. And I thought, okay, I mean, I can do that, you know, 15%. So it didn't bother me, you know, at least to the extent of when I would get, you know, the door slammed on my face or whatever the case, it didn't really bother me because I knew I just had to focus on that, you know, that 15%. And that really, I learned so much in that. And as you had said before, it's like, everybody should try something like that. It was one of the best learning experiences in addition to, you know, with the background in network marketing things of just learning how to interact and communicate effectively with people. And so,
this episode of the show is brought to you by Indeed. We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is not to search at all. It's to match and match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need this platform, guys. I'm telling you, Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging candidates so you can connect with those people even faster. And it doesn't just help you hire faster. In fact, 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And look, guys, one of the things that I wish I would have used Indeed for is this matching service. You can search and search and search and search and search all day long, but to actually be presented with quality candidates, like hiring a
a recruiter for you that's presenting people that has actually done the work to vet them and bring quality people in front of you, that work by itself is the fact that it's done by a software instead of like a team of high quality recruiters is pretty insane. So they leverage over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, which is why Indeed's matching engine is the best one that you can use. It's constantly learning from your own preferences. So the more you use it, the better it gets at doing the job for you. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility over at Indeed.com/Travis. Just go to Indeed.com/Travis right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed here on the podcast. Indeed.com/Travis. Terms and conditions apply. If you need to hire, you need Indeed.
And like how to read people and different things. Like, so just to give you a heads up, I did door-to-door sales for about 6 years, just like door-to-door sales, training, management, recruitment, all that kind of stuff. And the ability, I think like the number one thing to take away from it was the increase in emotional intelligence, the ability to not just listen to somebody's words, but actually be able to read body language and hear things in their tonality that they're not actually telling you, and then come up with some sort of reason or overcome some sort of objection that they didn't even exactly tell you, but you knew they were thinking. Like it just taught you this kind of mind chess game that a lot of people play. And there's just so many lessons that I took away from doing door-to-door, but I think that was probably chief among them. And that's exactly what you're talking about. And that's what I hear in this story, man. Like, it's funny because there's always like a point of success, right? Which we're going to get to here in a second. But what I love about your story is that you started when you were super young and you saw some success, and then you went and tried something else, and then that didn't work. And then you went and tried something else, and then that didn't work. And then you dabbled in network marketing, and then that didn't work. And then you went and did this other thing. And then you started doing this sales thing where 85% is negative, 15% is positive. And then you just dug in and did your thing there and like learned a bunch of lessons. And it's funny because a lot of people will say the same thing about, you know, what I do now. And it's just like, well, how have you done this in such a short amount of time? And it's like, well, I don't really look at it as a short amount of time. I look at it as like everything that I've done in the, you know, since I was 18, 19 years old, all of the crappy landscaping jobs that I used to sell, all of the times where I went and drove 2 hours to a lead that didn't answer, or, you know, those different things that came up. And it's the culmination of all of that learning and like busting your butt and falling flat on your face. That's where the success comes from. But yeah, anyway, sorry to interrupt again, but yeah, go ahead.
Solid. I love it. That's all great. And I just completely agree with everything you said. It wasn't, as I was going through this journey, we'll call it, and I'm still on it and will be until the day I die. But I think as I was going through it, it wasn't ever really about, I had highs and lows, ups and downs with making money. But I think part of the reason it was just like, you know, am I going to do this the rest of my life? Like, I just felt like there was always something more. And it may sound silly to people listening to this that are like struggling to financially to make money. It's like money isn't everything until you don't have enough of it. And when you don't have enough of it, that's when it quickly becomes everything. And that was just kind of my journey through this process where it's like, okay, I could figure out how to be successful at sales and sell this, but I wasn't really passionate about it. So I would move on to the next thing and to the next thing and to the next thing until.
Yeah, it's so funny, man. There's so much crossover between our stories because that's basically exactly what I did. It was just, I tolerated what I did because I liked the time freedom and the money. And then, but that's eventually how I got into podcasting, is just like, I'm sick of just doing this because it like makes me good money and allows me to have freedom throughout the day. I want to do something that I actually enjoy doing, which is when I jumped into all of the stuff that I'm doing now. But there's so much, I think, value in understanding that sometimes you do need to buckle down and just understand that you're in a situation that maybe you don't like, but you can't just like stop it right now. There's also practicality to making a transition to move into something else, but also understanding that you do need to take action a certain direction, but it doesn't mean that you can just like stop immediately just because you don't feel like it anymore.
Absolutely. There's, you know, especially if you've got family, kids, there's, you know, the older I've gotten, the, I don't want to say cautious, but it's just the more strategic I've had to be in making those transitions. Just because if it's, you know, when you're young and dumb and you don't care, like it's not a big deal, you know? But when you're starting to have people rely on you for certain things, it was definitely more of a strategic moves, and if at least for me. So, yeah, man. So gosh, just continue through the process here. It's, you know, I'd made a decent amount of money in sales. I always loved, remember, it was my schooling was exercise science. And that was kind of what my thought was to be, you know, somewhat in the health or wellness arena. That was kind of the network marketing company that I was involved with. I did like some personal fitness training during that time too. So I loved that industry, we'll call it. And I wanted to get back into it. It just didn't, you know, unless I was training Britney Spears or whoever, you know, you're not going to get rich doing something like that. And so my brilliant idea was to, you know, look at buying up a couple fitness franchises. And I did. When I was 24, I bought like a 24-hour fitness franchise. And I thought, great, this is going to be fun. You know, it was my first taste of like a brick and mortar type of business. And I tell you, man, I'd never worked so hard in my life and made so little in my life. And when I say hard, it's not like it was like difficult, but it was just like early mornings, late nights, you're everybody. I couldn't afford to hire like a manager because I, you know, I was growing this membership, and this was like my baby. And it was just, I was the cleaning crew, and I did that full time for a whole year. And I was like, this sucks. If this is what owning a business like this, it's like, I just bought a job that I've never been paid less at. And that's when I'm like, okay, I've learned a ton through this. Owning this brick and mortar business, you have rent and lease space and different things like that. I learned a lot at the, you know, age of 24, but it wasn't something that I would ever envision doing forever. And so I actually was introduced to another network marketing opportunity, newer company that was opening up operations in Mexico. They've been in the States for a couple of years and they were opening up operations. And I thought, you know what? Let's do it. Like, I can do this. I can do Mexico. I couldn't do Malaysia, but I can do Mexico. And I did it. I ended up grooming in a manager for a few months preparing for this. And I basically kind of handed over the reins to this manager. And I leased out my condo here in Minneapolis. And my wife and I basically moved into my sister's basement. And rented a little condo in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and moved there for 5 months. And, you know, back and forth a little bit with my wife was mainly staying here in the States. And I was going back and forth between there growing this business in Mexico. And 5 months into it, the Mexican government shut us down. And there was no real explanation, at least that I got, but I knew it was going to be a while. And so, you know, things were moving and happening there, but then all of a sudden it was shut down and we couldn't conduct business there. And so I came back to the States again with my tail between my legs. And not only did I not have, you know, really quote unquote a job or an opportunity to do something, I had my fitness center, of course, certainly wasn't making much of anything, but I'd even leased out my condo. So now, not only did I not have anything to really come back to, but now we're sleeping on my sister's couch. And it was just like the worst.
And how old are you at this point?
Man, this would have been 2008, 2009. So 25, 26.
And the economy was thriving at that point.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I spent a few months, man. It was kind of a dark time for me, just with like, again, my second, what am I going to do with my life? And I'm at 25. There's zero to be like really concerned about. But I was just like struggling because I'd made money, but I was just in this time period where I didn't want to just do something to make money. I needed to have a passion for it. And I came across this ad. And I was looking at, you know, what could I create? What could I build? You know, what would be saleable for me? And I was just on Craigslist, you know, and constantly zooming through those things late at night. And I came across this ad. It said, work 3 days a week and make $10,000. And if you've ever dabbled on Craigslist, or at least back then, you know, it's like there's everything on there from a real job to like a
network marketing company.
Exactly. Plenty of those on there. And that's honestly what I thought it was. So originally I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. But I'll inquire, you know, like, what's up? And I had a conversation with the guy hiring here, and it was a real sales gig. And it really intrigued me because this was my first introduction to one-to-many selling. You know, everything I'd done before was sitting down one-on-one with a person. And he was talking to me about how they would, you know, fill a room, get a group of people together. They would present their products and, you know, they would only meet with those that wanted more information or wanted to find out what it would cost for them. And it blew my mind. I was like, you got to be kidding me. This actually works. And he had an event the following week, a couple hours from me. I said, you know what? I'm going to drive down and just sit in. And it was unbelievable. He had like 30 some people in the room. He did his presentation about an hour, hour and a half or so. They ate dinner. He paid for a nice steak dinner for them. And then he got like 8 or 9 appointments that he was going to go see the next day and then ultimately close those sales or, you know, at least a percentage of them. And I was like, holy cow. Like, my drive home, I just couldn't shut my brain off about, you know, what products could be sold in this format and getting this group of like-minded people together. And within 6 months, man, I started my first company selling one to many. And this would have been in, June/July of 2010. And our very, very first 6 months, we did $2.1 million in sales.
What were you selling?
We were selling home improvement products from LED lighting to insulation to attic ventilators, just simple things that people could, you know, implement into their home, weather stripping, implement into their home to make their houses more energy efficient. And so it was saving people money on their utility bills. It was such an easy thing to market to, like who wouldn't want that? And, you know, of course, so we could, you know, we're literally, our target market was buying a list of homeowners, which is pretty easy to sift through. And then we invited them out to learn how to save money on their utility bills. So we give them some good pointers and tips and ultimately ask for the appointment to sit down and walk through their home with them and do kind of a little mini audit. And mind you, dude, I still don't hang the pictures in my house. Like I don't, I can't do a hammer. I don't know anything about home remodeling, but I could figure out a way to sell it. And that's what we did. So with, you know, 0 to 2.1 million in the first 6 months, that's when I knew like, this was a fun time, man. I'm sure you've experience this like this as well, where it's like everything is just clicking and you're just figuring things out. You're learning a ton, but you're making money as you're doing it. It was like, it was the greatest experience. And, you know, the next year we started to hire on sales reps. I had a good foundation, infrastructure of employees to help run the operation side of things so we could focus on selling and recruiting. And the next year we did just under 12 million. We did the same the following year. And that's really the time where it was like, okay, I've really felt like we had a system in place. And it wasn't about the product because, you know, I'd heard of like financial advisors doing dinner seminars. And we were, you know, really kind of one of the first to do this in a different vertical. But then I thought, you know, because I certainly was not passionate about, I'm happy to help people save money on their utility bills, but that doesn't get me out of bed in the morning, you know? And so I thought, well, what else could we sell? And I started to look for different products. What could work in this format? You know, because it's not necessarily a cheap thing to do. It costs some money to put these together. But dude, my very, very first seminar, I had $673 in my bank account at that time. So I did this on a credit card in a hope that I could make this thing work. And you know, it did. Thank God we figured this out through the process. But once we really felt we had this dialed in, we started to look at all these different products and offerings. And we can now say that we've done this in multiple different industries, personal businesses that I've owned. And now we've really just kind of more so transitioned into consulting and teaching people the system. And that was really what kind of set me on this path that I'm on now. Is I remember clearly a few years ago, I'd come home from another, you know, sales, a few days on the road, I would go out, do a dinner presentation, meet with people, sell, and then come home. And I remember getting home kind of late. My wife and daughter were asleep. And I just sat down at the kitchen table just to kind of chill and get ready for bed, essentially. And I just had this aha moment where it was like, man, I'm not passionate about this. I'm not passionate about just selling something just to sell something. And that's when it really hit me, where I knew what my passion was, and that was people. And, you know, not just selling them something, but being able to pour into them and helping them develop, you know, whatever it is they're trying to develop. And that's when I had this, you know, aha moment, epiphany, whatever you want to call it, where it was like, I knew rather than us just trying to find and sell another product, we could certainly have done that. We could still be doing that. But I thought, man, I remember my struggles in starting on out. And I remember I would, the constant, whether you're going door to door or telemarketing sales or whatever it is, there's people who struggle to get sales. And unless you can be as passionate as you want, but if you don't have a sales system, you're not going to do any good with it. You know what I mean? It's so, if you build it, they won't come. You got to go freaking get them. And so that's when I had this, like, this thought. I'm like, man, could this work? Like, is the product actually the system and not whatever it is we're selling? And so that's when I just started to write, and I just laid out everything that I do from a back-end standpoint on what it takes to identify your true client avatar, to how do we go about designing a marketing piece and the verbiage, and how do we go about, you know, taking those phone calls and choosing the restaurant to host it in, geographically where we send those to, you know, who's into, you know, taking the phone calls, to the scripts, to doing the presentation, setting up the room, the follow-up, all of that. I just started to put down to paper, and I was like, man, this is actually it. And that's when we started the social dynamic selling system. And we started to take on clients, because I had, you know, past sales reps that wanted to be in business on their own. And so it was an easy kind of transition for me to just now be able to offer our services to other people. And that's when we really, really got this thing honed in to a system where we can, you know, help anybody, whether it's growing, you know, something from nothing, or they're just maybe looking to expand into another area, but they don't have a brand awareness or any recognition in that area. We can help them develop sales specifically anywhere, really, throughout the US here, and help them grow. So, you know, we have kind of a little tagline that, you know, it's the social dynamic selling system. It's, you know, about having a system that's sustainable, and a system that's predictable, and then one that's obviously scalable. And so if you can predict where your sales are and you can sustain those sales, you're going to be able to scale it. And that's really what we feel we've been able to develop through the dinner seminar format.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. It's such an awesome story. I love every single part of it, because it, like I said a little bit ago, it doesn't just happen one day. Like, this was the culmination of so many different things that you tried to do, and so many different lessons learned along the way, and perfecting the craft of communication, like learning how to build a successful presentation, and just different things like that, that most people don't look at when they see the final picture, you know? And now you've put all this into a book recently. Is that right?
Yeah. Actually, we just released a book a couple months ago. It's now an Amazon bestseller, which is very cool. The book is called Food for Thought, kind of a catchy little name that you wouldn't necessarily know what it means, but Food for Thought, it's how to use dinner seminar marketing to grow your business in ways you never thought possible. And so part of when I had this thought of like, okay, I can take on a client and I can fill a room for them, I could design their presentation, I could literally do everything. It's a soup to nuts type of thing, where I could literally, all they would have to do is show up and throw up, or heck, I could even train and hire people on how to deliver presentations in front of the room using all sorts of different techniques. I'm a master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming and things. So I've definitely learned a lot of these different things over these years. And I thought, I can do all of this, but I don't have the time to do all of that. Like, I can train people and we can grow and make it happen that way. But, you know, in order for me to take on individual clients, I was going to have to charge a lot. I mean, that's just flat out. Otherwise, it's not worth my time. And that's just really what it boiled down to. But I didn't want the folks that couldn't necessarily afford it, or maybe in the early stages, like I was at one point, and we're just looking to, like, they just need a little bit of guidance. If I could put that into like an academy or a book like this, that can help them get started on the right step, or just on their journey, that's what I wanted to do. And that's really what I did. We put this into this book, Food for Thought, that, you know, it lays out a little bit about my background, what we've kind of just discussed here a little bit, and you know, why anybody would even really listen to me, because nobody knows who Riley Meek is. But we talk a little bit about the background, but then really just, I broke it down into six, like, modules, we call them, on how to build your marketing foundation, to how to choose the restaurant, how to fill the room, how to design your mail piece or marketing piece. If it is, you know, direct mail, we do a lot of direct mail. Certainly there's ways to do it online as well. And, you know, how to deliver the presentation, working the room, the follow-up, and then really how to scale it. And so all of that is kind of laid out in this book that will, you know, really step by step, it just kind of guides them through the process of how to set up their own campaigns should they want to do it themselves versus hiring a company like my, like ourselves.
What's up, everyone? Just wanted to take a quick second and give a shout out to my favorite podcasting app, Himalaya. If you're not listening to podcasts on this new app, you're definitely missing out. It's like a social media app, but for podcast listeners. Follow your go-to shows, like and comment on your favorite episodes, and download professionally curated playlists made just for you. So head on over to your App Store or Google Play Store and download Himalaya today and thank me later. This episode of the show is brought to you by Rothy's, and this one is for all of the ladies out there. Rothy's is a company that makes stylish shoes for women out of recycled plastic water bottles. And from what my wife says, they're actually really comfortable and they're machine washable because they're recycled plastic. So look, typically I wouldn't bring a product like this on the show that I don't personally use, but since my wife does, and since they've diverted over 25 million plastic bottles from landfills, I felt like it was something that I just kind of had to tell you all about. They launch new colors and patterns every few weeks, and they sell out constantly. Plus, they go with everything from yoga pants to dresses and skirts, or so I'm told anyway. You'll discover quickly why BuzzFeed called them their forever shoes. Plus, Rothy's always comes with free shipping and free returns and exchanges. So there is literally no risk, no worries, no reason not to try. Check out all of the amazing styles available right now at rothys.com/Travis. That's rothys.com/Travis. And I know this is mainly for all the ladies out there, but if you're a guy and you're listening to this show and you have a lady in your life, promise you this is going to make a fantastic gift. So head over to rothys.com/Travis.
Yeah, I love it, man. Anybody listening to this right now that has resonated with any of the stuff that Riley's been talking about, highly recommend heading over to Amazon and picking up a copy of that book, Food for Thought. I promise there's going to be something in there that will help you add more revenue into your business or maybe give you an idea that you have not thought about previously. Riley, I'm curious to know, just kind of moving this conversation more into a little bit of a networking type of a conversation, I'm curious to know what these dinners have done for your personal relationships and in terms of like connecting and getting to know a lot more people locally in your community.
Yeah, absolutely. So doing these events, obviously, when you're doing this, you're investing money, you've got usually one goal in mind, and that's to get a return on your investment. And so we've designed, you know, there are seminar campaigns and things out there that fill the room and we'll rah-rah dazzle them, run to the back of the room and buy this $48 training program. Or, you know, there's lots of those out there. And that's, I want to be very clear, that is absolutely not what we do or teach. Could I do that and teach that? Yes, but it's not our approach. The point of the dinner seminar marketing, I mean, there's 100 points of it, but I mean, the real true kind of foundation of why it works so well is because you're not there to sell them. I mean, you are, but nobody wants to be sold. They all want to buy from a consumer perspective. And so you're there simply to establish yourself as the authoritative figure in your market, whatever it is. If you're a solar contractor or a cosmetic surgeon or whatever it is, you are there to establish yourself as that authoritative figure and to build know, like, and trust. I mean, that's all your goal is in this event, is you're coming across as educated, at least on this particular topic. You're the expert, you're cordial, you're kind, you're free-spirited with them. And you're doing this all while breaking bread. And there's just something special about having that happen in a group atmosphere, hence the name social dynamic. Most people question, like, are you social media? And it's definitely not social media. The reason we call this the social dynamic selling system is that there is a dynamic when you're in a group. You know, whether you're at church in a group, there's a social dynamic, or whether you're at the nightclub, there's a social dynamic happening, and there's certain ways that you can use that in your favor to get people to know, like, and trust you. Because people will only, I mean, they'll do business with people they obviously know, like, and trust. And the point of this seminar then isn't really to sell them that evening, it's to gain that confidence and for them to now invite that second meeting. And then that's when you're able to sit down and spend the time with them and build out whatever it is you're trying to sell or promote
And that's, you know, that's the whole point. And I think that's why financial advisors have had a lot of success with it, because, you know, I just take Minneapolis market right now. I mean, there's thousands of financial advisors here, but there's only a select few that are really, really good at doing these events. And they'll do, you know, a handful of these a year because they're building that know, like, and trust. And it's a nurturing process as they're, you know, if somebody's going to be rolling over their 401k or IRA, I mean, it's got to be someone they trust. And that for a home remodeler or doctor or whatever. But I think that's why it really helps to establish yourself as the authority within your community locally to begin that networking process versus putting yourself on a billboard. Or if you're trying to build that brand, oftentimes that's extremely expensive. And this is a way that you can probably ease yourself into it to build that awareness within your local market.
Right, right. Totally. And make money at the same time directly.
Absolutely.
Like it's not just brand building like a billboard would be, you know what I mean? Like you're actually making direct sales from it. Have you found that there's like a target profit margin that you need to be able to sustain in terms of your selling? Because I assume this is not something that would work on like lower ticket sales.
Yeah, typically not. However, but part of what, anytime I would bring on a new client, and I talk about this a little bit in the book and our academy is, but we always want to start with the end in mind. And we always want to look at what your client acquisition cost is or your customer acquisition cost is, but not only just what the cost is, but also, you know, in order to determine what your true ROI is, we got to figure out the lifetime value of that customer. So if you have a $48 widget and it's a one and done, you're never going to sell them anything else. I would flat out tell you this is just not the way that you should work. You know, this dinner seminar is just not going to be able to be sustainable for you. So we try to back into this, again, starting with the end in mind, where we want to make sure that you do have a high enough profit margin to make this sustainable, because it doesn't do me any good to teach you how to do this and then you fail.
Right, yeah.
Make anybody happy. And so we want to make sure we're building out a proper plan or program with people. So I've done this with as little as $700-$800 ticket items, but that's cutting it close. The only reason I would maybe suggest doing that is if they had some back end or upsells or things that they could do long term and building that database, so there is more of a lifetime value of a customer versus just one and done. You know, I could just give you examples of the solar company that we work with. Is, you know, they can do a $30,000 solar project and profit 12 to 15 grand on that, and they're happy. They only need one sale per event to make money versus, you know, a biz opportunity or franchise. You know, they're looking to maybe not only get that ROI and sell the opportunity, but they're maybe considering the long-term value where there's royalties and things like that, that they would be getting paid on as well. So I know that's probably not a clear answer for you, but it really just depends on the product and the offering.
For sure, man. Well, hey, look, this is something that I could really talk with you about for a while because it's something that really interests me. But just to kind of move the conversation a little bit going forward, I got to ask you this question, Riley, because it's the question that I ask everybody that comes on the show. Do you believe that who you know or what you know is more important and why?
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. Just from personal experience in my life, I feel like everything that I've kind of fallen into has been through a relationship, whether it's a new one that I had just made or one that I've been cultivating over time. And that's part of, even now, I feel like I've done very well. I'm still constantly involved with networking groups and masterminds and things like that to help, iron sharpens iron. And if you're not getting any pushback or feedback from like-minded or even not necessarily like-minded, but just how about like mindsetted type of person that, you know, has the goal in mind is to, you know, do more, be more, become more. I think that it's extremely valuable to constantly be networking and getting feedback from others.
Yeah. Do you have a story, like a particular time in your life that you can remember where like a connection with somebody led to something big that happened for you?
Yeah, man. I mean, one of my main competitors, we'll call it, that was doing dinner events as well. By happenstance, we were working the same town, the same venue, one day apart. And he had heard of who I was. I had heard of who he was. And he stuck after. And we had coffee. We just chatted about what I do and the opportunity. And dude, within 3 months, he was a business partner of mine with my ventures. And so
that was, had he not taken the time, and maybe this is more for him, but had he not taken the time to make that connection or nurture that relationship, a lot of things would be different.
Plus, I love that all of this started from you being open to like a spammy looking title on a Craigslist ad. It's like the best part of the whole story. Like everybody else listening to this would be like, skip that, not clicking that link. But it does go to show you, man, like a lot of times it's just about being open to things. And it's just about at least just hearing people out. And a lot of times it might be a little bit of a waste of time. A lot of times it might be somebody just pitching something or trying to get you to join this, you know, this MLM, or like, I don't even know how many like Forex and cryptocurrency MLM requests I get on Instagram every single day. But if somebody does it in the right way, and you know what I mean? Like, you never know what can happen if you're just open to opportunity. And that's one of the biggest pieces of your whole story that I really, really appreciate. So if you were to boil it all down, Riley, and give us just one thing that we can do today to become better at building relationships with people, what would you say that one thing would be?
Building relationships with people. I think what's really just helped me become, you know, what, you know, really just accomplish what we've done here is having a system in place and being, what I want to say, being in operating with intent and not just letting life happen, you know, like if it is just sifting through those ads on Craigslist or whatever it is, but operating with an intent to do something, I think is the most important thing. And having that system, I talk about the system, it's like my dinner seminar system, but it's not really what I'm referring to. It's more of just a system of getting from the time you wake up in the morning. I read this article recently. It was talking about high level people, you know, that high successful people that operate on a high level, they don't even think about what they're eating each day. It's like lined up for them because it's just one little thing that they don't have to worry about. And even if it only takes a few minutes or whatever, it's just that if you're not having to waste your time, energy, and efforts on that, it's just you can focus on whatever it is you're growing or building. And so I think that's what's been best for me and having those systems in place to make sure that I'm focusing on the right things at the right times.
Love it, bro. Let's go ahead and move on now to the last segment of the show, something I like to call the random round. Just a few really quick random questions and quick random answers. Ready?
You bet.
What profession other than your own do you think that it would be fun to attempt?
I would say a surgeon.
If you could sit on a park bench with someone, past or present, and talk to them for an hour, who would it be and why?
Nikola Tesla.
How do you like to consume content? Books, audiobooks, blogs, podcasts, or videos?
I'm really digging podcasts these days. You know, audiobooks have been great, but you know, I love getting the perspectives from others and just being, you know, candid.
Give me one or two of your favorite podcasts.
Oh man. Well, yours, of course, man.
Of course. Yeah.
I'm digging Dave Asprey's Bulletproof. I like that. I think that's, you know, always has, he has, you know, new people on all the time and different perspectives. I'm kind of getting into this biohacking culture, cult, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, you should check out Ben Greenfield's stuff too, if you haven't yet.
Ben Greenfield. Okay. You know, somebody else told me that recently, so I will take it as a sign.
Had him on the show recently. We had a really good conversation, but he's got a great podcast on all this kind of stuff. Shout out to Ben. All right. Give us a glimpse of your morning routine.
Perfect. This morning I woke up, I sat in the hot tub and just kind of meditated for 15, 20 minutes or so, got out of there, body temp was up, sat in the sauna for another 15 to 20 minutes or so, read a little bit. That's my morning routine is RPM, and it stands for read, pray, and meditate. And so I want to just kind of get a little bit of that in the morning that will set the stage for the rest of my day. So read, pray, meditate, and then that launches me.
What is your go-to pump-up song?
This is funny. How about Remember the Name? I don't even know who sings it, but I was working out to it the other day. I thought that was good. It got me going.
What is something that you are not very good at?
I am not good at mechanical things. I do not, like I said before, I don't even hang the pictures in my house. I knew early on when I was little, I was going to need to make a lot of money because I don't mow lawn. I don't do any of that. And so I'd rather pay somebody else to do it.
As we get everything wrapped up here, man, what is one place online where we are going to be able to find you the most?
Probably just the company website, socialdynamicselling.com. social dynamic selling.com.
Awesome. Awesome. So go over to socialdynamicselling.com and check out some of the stuff that Riley has up there. Also, definitely head over to Amazon and get a copy of his book, Food for Thought. I promise you, you will not regret it. Riley, thank you so much for coming on the show today, man. I had a blast talking with you for a bit.
Right on, Travis. Yeah, this was fun, man. Appreciate it.
Well, that's it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to learn more about how we've been able to get some of the guests to come on the show, I've created a totally free resource called Meet Your Hero. So if you'd like to connect with people you respect and admire that are difficult to reach, you're going to want to go to travischappell.com/hero to take action and start that training today. Have a wonderful rest of your day and remember to leave every relationship better than you found it.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.